This is The Guardian.
Please be aware that today's episode contains some swearing.
I'm Grace Dent, and this is Comfort Eating from The Guardian. A podcast where we pay homage to the lesser celebrated foods in life. Because even as a restaurant critic, I believe the food that matters most is often that snack you cobble together when you're curled up on the sofa. Each week, I ask my guest to lift the lid on what comfort foods have seen them through their lives. Because you can tell a lot about a person from what they eat behind closed doors.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, friends. In the spirit of today's guest, you find me preparing a little light lunch which prioritizes pleasure. And I've settled on a snack that one of my favorite comfort eating guests, Deborah Meaden, she taught me this. It's a vegetarian sausage. And I'm smearing it liberally with Marmite. Yes, I know it sounds strange, but it is the ultimate umami hit. See, Deborah went much heavier. She went much heavier. It was like ganache icing when she had it on, because that woman is a machine. Today, I have singer-songwriter, self-esteem, aka Rebecca Lucy Taylor, coming round. Now, it's not every day that you have a bona fide pop diva sitting in your living room. I'm definitely going to have to put a pair of heels on, aren't I? Her songs are like a rallying cry that you can power dance to even when you're on your own. And one fan even tweeted that listening to Self-Esteem made them feel like they could run through a wall. I've just renovated, so I'm hoping there'll be none of that. But that is the kind of energy I am expecting from this woman. Self-Esteem's breakthrough second album, Prioritise Pleasure, shook the music world in 2021. But Rebecca has actually been in the business for over 15 years. And with lyrics so raw and relatable and hilarious, I feel like she has lived a lot of life to get to this point. So I can't wait to find out more about her and see what comfort foods have seen her through. From her hometown of Rotherham to the red carpet at the Brits. I'll eat this first though. Rebecca Lucy Taylor, Self-Esteem. Welcome to Comfort Eating.
Can't believe it. Milestone moment for me this, Grace. Thank you.
Do you know when you came to the front door, I opened it and I did that thing that people do to me. I grabbed you and I hugged you. And halfway through the bosomy hug, I thought, I don't know this person.
I loved it. I need warmth where I can get it. I've been lonely my whole life. Now I've got all these friends.
Now everyone in the world knows
you're my friend now. I'll never be alone again. But no, yeah, it was fine. Don't worry, I loved it.
I love your Instagram.
Oh.
I think that it's a treasure trove of British icons. Kerry Katona, Saran Jones, Hayley from Coronation Street. I've not been on there yet.
Not yet, but...
Rude.
It's coming. It's coming. Trust.
As you sit in my living room, which UK hun are you channeling today?
Oh, Matt. I've actually got my Hesman Hog, Lancashire and Jones shirt on. Oh, I should, I'll get one sent to you.
Oh my God.
Because you know those Beatles t-shirts or yes. like Oasis t-shirts, and it's just like the guys' names. And I just always thought they'd, I just hate them. Yeah. what I want is a TV actress
yeah.
t-shirt. Nothing is more important to me than the ascension of soap stars to BBC drama stars. It's like my specific thing I'm most into.
I love that you've come in and talked about your t-shirt and not mentioned that you've got a sky blue jumper with Sex House written on it. As if that's
I don't
just
know why it says that
a common and perfectly regular fashion item.
Something has been happening to me because I've never had any money, right? And like I'm making a tiny bit of money now. So, and I don't have kids or anything or you know, I don't know. I don't have anything to spend it on really other than stupid jumpers.
You're talking to the queen of this absolute mode. This is that's the mode I live in as well.
I get like high off it. I like see something on the internet and then I'm like, I'm going to buy it. I'm like,
oh, is that the front door? It's yeah. here.
Yeah. It got yeah. really bad. It's got really bad. Because I should save some of this money for when my yeah. career's not going so well.
Wow.
But here we are, sat in a stupid jumper that I bought with my money because I made it.
I am so excited to see what a pop diva like yourself eats when she's home alone.
So today, I'm bringing you my favourite.
Oh my gosh.
Which is a cheese toastie.
Yeah.
With white onion on white bread with salad cream as a sort of dipping sauce.
Oh my gosh. Can you hear my mouth watering?
And I've not eaten today, which is rare. That's how bloody busy I am. And I am truly... beside myself for this. This looks so good.
First of all, can I say that it's beautiful. It's the fact that you've done a dipping side of salad cream. Not messing about. Oh, let's go in. Let's get in there. It feels like
my
it's...
mouth is wet.
It's like... This is a niche sexual thing for people. Northern women eating carbohydrates. Oh. Okay. When would you eat this?
I love that the specificity of alone. I have one of my notes in my phone was once I just want some alone time with a buffet. Like my dream is a buffet, but no one's witnessing me at one. I love white onion, raw. I could eat an onion like an apple. I should find it. You know, as you get older, I think your tongue dies off a bit, doesn't it? So onions, pickles, jalapenos, all that now.
I think I'm with you with the other things, but eating an onion like an apple, that's the work of a psychopath, isn't it? That's one of the tests. This is delicious.
I have them,
yeah.
But I could.
You could.
I think so.
Paint me a picture of what it was like in the Taylor household when you were growing up. Were meal times important?
Yeah, it was definitely everyone sat to the table thing. My dad would get home like 5:25 and tea was on the table kind of thing. And
always 5:25?
I feel like it was like a really evocative feeling of, because I did the pandemic back there with him because I was in a flat share with no garden. I was like, oh, I'm getting out of here. So I ended up like living with my parents for a year basically. And the sound of the car coming onto the drive in this very specific rumble
yeah.
and the sonics of that just does something in me, which is like, I'm excited. And I was like, am I excited because dad's home or am I excited because it's dinner time?
Both.
It's a mix of both, yeah. So yeah, it was 5:30. My parents weren't strict, but they were, their parenting was very structured and there's a right way to do things. And that's why I'm like this, I think, because I'd be like, why do you have to do it like that? You know.
So your dad gets in at 5:25, dinner's on the table at 5:30. What are you having?
There was a lot of like, stew, you know, good hearty British stuff.
Yeah.
But then sometimes it would be like fish fingers, chips and beans. Like, I love that. Again, there's nothing much more delicious than that, I don't think. I think we had like pasta, but late on. Like, pasta became, you know, pasta bake.
That stodgy, that brick of pasta. Pasta bake, what with tuna in it.
Yeah, tuna sweet corn. Do you know what as well? I will do that. If I'm hungover and alone, I'll do a big, like there's no bounds to how much pasta I can eat, especially if it's like cheesy tuna, sweet corn, dolmio, you know. I love a jar. I've made, you know, I've reduced things. I'm quite a keen cook.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, ultimately nothing.
The dummy like white sauce.
Jar. Oh my God, delicious. Mm. Could spoon that in. Could dip the pieces of the onion in that.
You went to live with your parents in lockdown, but when you were little, living with them, did you get on with them? Were they good fun? Are they?
Yeah, they are. They're, yeah. My parents are really shy though, and like very flamboyant. And I've always been like this, which has been like, you do therapy, right? And then you're like,
yeah,
they were amazing parents. They couldn't have done anything differently. But no matter what, just growing up is hard and adapting and being. There's that part of therapy, I guess, depending on how you do it. But like, there's a bit where you start to sort of understand why you behave or why things might have been difficult. And there's like a resentment, a tiny bit of resentment that I was like struggling with. But like going home and living with them in a global crisis, it's like real exposure therapy, I guess, to like, and we, you know, my family don't talk. We don't talk about things. We don't, you know, no one sort of shares how they feel. And obviously now I'm full of that. So I was like, sorry, guys, we're literally legally have to be around each other and I'm going to. But it's been beautiful, you know, and I sort of cherish it because they finally get me, I think. They see that I've always been a performer. I wanted to do all these things. And they've always supported that, but with a real air of like worry. And but I think it was tough for them because I'm a lot, you know. What do you do with that?
I like being a lot.
Yeah, me too. Now I'm making like a living out of it and buying stupid jumpers with it. But for a long time, it was very frustrating for everyone around me.
Richard Burton said about Elizabeth Taylor that she was just a bit bloody much. And I think that's amazing. Because he kept marrying her.
Yeah. Exactly. But also, like, now I realise, certainly my 20s, like, I wasn't actually being that crazy at all. I just wasn't in circles with other people that were like me. My bestie now, we only just met a few years ago, and she had this psychotic 20s in London at the same time I was having them, but we'd never met. And she felt very, you know, if I'd have met her, maybe. I was like, there were people out there, and now, especially with my music and stuff, like, people responding to it like they do. I'm like, oh, so I'm actually quite normal, if you want to figure out what that means. But there's loads of people that feel like I do.
Hang on. So it feels like when you were a kid, you had loads of energy that you were trying to burn off. Am I right? Is that?
Yeah. Basically, everything I ever, it was like throwing shit at the wall and seeing what will stick. In terms of what I ended up being, there was a phase where I was really good cricketer. And I was like, South Yorkshire ladies, could have been a cricketer. Like, I could have.
No, I can see that.
I played tennis. I did Amdram, like, obsessively did Amdram. I just wanted to do everything. But, yeah, I just wanted to be involved. Life was like, and still is, like, why won't you just make something with it or do something? Or if I went to someone's house and they had a conservatory, I was like, okay, this is backstage and the patio is stage. You know, like anything with four, a proscenium of any description, in my brain, that was a stage and that was to be used. And when I was a kid, I think it was a mixture of Spice Girls and stuff and like, that's what I want so
Which
badly.
One?
Well, Mel C head, obviously, but then I'm queer, so I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was, Jerry really captivated me as a vibe.
Yeah, Jerry, I think Jerry was maybe my favourite. Just, Jerry always seemed like the odd one out. I think there was a sense that they all never really liked Jerry. Am I being horrible?
Well,
I don't know.
It's like me and my band. They wouldn't like me. I've got this memory of lying in my childhood bedroom, and you can remember when you'd get up for school and it'd be like freezing, like painfully freezing, and my dad had not, and I must have been 10, 11 or something. I didn't want to get out of my bed, and this was really rare in my, there's no spontaneity in my family, and that's why I'm obsessed with like, fuck it, let's do this. I'm obsessed with like committing to the bit, even if it's quite annoying or not going to really work. But my dad came in and was like, I've got a surprise for you this morning. And I must have been half asleep. I really vividly remember this, looking at my Spice Girls poster. And I was like, imagining my dad coming back in and sticking a picture of me onto the poster and saying, they've asked you to join the Spice Girls. And vividly, that's what I thought this was going to be. And I still remember this. And he came up and it was a bacon sandwich, which was, we didn't have bacon sandwiches. You know, we had cereal. That was a surprise. I just remembered that now live on a podcast, but yeah. So I kind of want to do it, you know, like you, me, boom, boom trainer, like a make a wish thing. Like if someone, somebody out there, one day, if you can sort it that one day I wake up and you stick a picture of me onto a Survivor Skills poster, I'll ascend.
What a journey I went on in that story.
I know, me too. I can't believe it.
I was like, and then he came and in, then, and it's like, oh, maybe the Spice Girls? And it was a bacon sandwich.
And that was the surprise, to be fair, to the guy.
It feels like when you're at home when you were younger, there was a definite schedule around eating and what you ate and when, in a lovely way. But were there ever times where you just kicked back and went a bit mad?
Tuesdays, right, with brownies. Mm. And I can't really remember, I might be misremembering this, but I'm pretty sure, I think my brother was at something, my mum must have been at something, and then it meant that my dad was in charge of getting me sort of fed and two brownies. And I love it now, because my mates have got kids and stuff now, and I'm like, you see them do their, like, sell something to the kid as, like, normal. Do you know what I mean? And my dad, and what I see now is, like, I was definitely sold this, like, Tuesdays I get to eat toast and honey in front of the telly.
Yeah.
And I was like, woo! You know, that was a treat. Now I'm like, actually, I'm sure my dad was like, oh, this is bad parenting. We shouldn't. But yeah, Tuesday night, toast and honey was, I used to put it on a cardboard box and get as close to the TV as possible. And I assume everyone was just so busy and so much was going on. It was just like, no rules left. It's like, fine. She can sit as close as she wants. Get a toast in, I get her to brownies.
You've got your toast. You've got your honey. What were you watching on telly?
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Yes.
Awesome. Who else was looking after you when you were growing up? Was it just your mum and dad?
Yeah, I mean, Nan and Grandad, my mum's parents, were a big part of my life. They lived, like, down the road. And right until, you know, they've only just died in the last few years. I had this dreadful breakup in 2012 and I had to move home. I was really skinny. Like, that was my, you know, my little, the first time I was, like, stopped eating and all the rest of things happens.
Like, the split up diet is just,
And I went on a coach trip with them for like 4 days with my nan and granddad and loads of other old people.
Where did you go?
It was like Scarborough and Filey, and I loved it. And I made a little film about and I'd not been eating, but it was this hotel where it's like breakfast, lunch and dinner set. And it was so like sort of school dinners-y, and I loved it. And I just like, I just like ate loads with the pensioners for a week, and it really... It's a turning point for me.
No, when I look back, some of the happiest times with my mother was when she would, even like in, you know, this is just quite recently, you know, before she died, she wanted to go to Blackpool and she wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Three meals a day.
Yeah. Coach.
Well, we would go down and just stay in some hotel.
Yeah.
Three meals a day. Exactly. School dinners.
Yeah.
Kind of delicious.
So delicious. I loved it. Turned around that phase of my life, actually. Back in the day when I was a kid still, they had this mate called Eileen who had a car, and Eileen, me and my nan and granddad would, I guess they were just going to like Big Morrison's or something, but it was a bit of a again, it was like pitched to me as a treat. And because I was just such an enthusiastic kid, I was like, yes, Morrison. And I remember they would get me a pasta salad, those pasta salads with grated carrot and sweet corn and lettuce.
Was this from the Serve Yourself bar?
Yes, it was. The market. You know, they did that faux market in Morrison's. That was exciting.
It's like suddenly you turn around, you take a right in Morrison's and you're in this kind of weird, like, faux Victorian marketplace.
I love it.
With ye olde sausage rolls. I love it.
Anything like that. Yeah, even that felt like a, wow, like a set of a movie or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, I used to, that's a memory. I mean, Nan was really, you know, she was amazing at baking, like proper. Yeah. She would make these scones and like, it's quite sad. I'll never taste a scone like that again because no one can do it like she did, you know.
I know.
It's still quite hard for my mum, I think. And I think me being like, let's make the scones my nan made would be a bit emotional for her still, but... She'd rather just not access it for a bit yet, which is fine. I get it. Whereas I might access it, make an album about it, make a scone about it. But my mum's generation is very much like, no, I'm fine. You know, it's fascinating to me.
Yeah. I mean, I have this with my family where I'm really, I know they think everything isn't for copy. Everything isn't an experience that you should write about. We aren't your material.
No, I know.
And you're like, yeah, but you need to stop being so interesting.
Yeah.
If you don't want me to talk about the shit, stop doing it.
Yeah, it's fun. My mum really don't want a fanfare ever, and I want a fanfare every day for everything, every single thing I do. And I'm like, yeah, like, thank you. I'm so busy at the minute. I'm like, if I do anything at all, I'm like, medal. Hello.
Did you sing when you were little?
Yeah. I didn't sing or think I was a singer, but I sang a lot and danced a lot. I didn't sing till my GCSEs, because I'm a drummer, so playing the drums for GCSE music. So it's like learning, reading music, and quite boring, actually. It's not like, I wanted to play like Green Day songs, and I had to do timpani to...
Because you were into metal, weren't you?
Like new metal, yeah. And then indie and... That pipeline.
Yeah.
But I only sang then because I had this music teacher that was like, it's easier and quicker to get decent grades singing. So I just started singing show songs. And then I guess that the addiction to that then was like, wow. You know, at school, I became this like, wow, she can sing. And I was the lead in the play and all that. And that's what I got really excited by.
What show song do you recommend that I learn that gets the maximum attention quickly?
Great question. I dreamed a dream. I would say I was Fantine in our school production of Les Mis. And you know, she dies 20 minutes in, right?
Yeah.
So the other two parts is Eponine and Cosette. And both of those parts were shared by two girls each. But I got to be Fantine the whole time. And I would die. She dies. And I remember this. I put a beret on and come back on, literally instantly be part of the chorus, you know, the students. It's like the beret, like, hid. What a dickhead. I couldn't even give it two scenes before I was back on stage. And I was, like, front centre. I was just like...
Oh, I'm dead. Guess who's back?
Drink with me. I mean, the beret is definitely...
Bonjour.
Yeah, yeah. To the mannequin. And I'd just done a very moving... Dream to Dream. But yeah, I would say Dream to Dream's a good one.
So during all this drama practice, what kept you going through rehearsals?
I had this amazing music teacher who would stay really late, and we did amazing, groundbreaking things. But he'd stay late, and we'd work really hard on the shows and stuff. And sometimes you'd stay right till like 8 p.m. and there'd be a break where we'd go to the end of the road and get a pizza from the pizza takeaway, which
so
was like
up.
Really exciting. Yeah, really grown up.
So
yeah.
Grown up.
And we'd have Apollo Fungi. Apollo Fungi, it was called. Chicken and mushroom.
Chicken,
right?
And mushroom, the dream.
Yeah. And that, you know, those pizza crusts are actually disgusting, like oily and not even taste of anything. It's like a very specific kind of pizza takeaway that's like, you know, it's not yard sale, Charmaine. Yeah. It's like that. But yeah, it was just very exciting. The pizza was pretty not very good, but...
Is there any bad pizza though?
Well, true, that's a good point.
So did you ever have anything different, or was it always Polo Fungi?
Always Polo Fungi. Just laughing now, thinking about Leanna listening to this. We'd be like, Polo Fungi. We'd just say it to each other like that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, so we obviously know you are this powerhouse performer. who isn't afraid to wear a statement piece on stage. Talk me through the evolution of your style as a teenager. Wow. Because I always see you as like somebody who, you know, just very confident to wear something incredible, to pick something off. I have you done as a fashion person.
Interested in fashion and I like it and it's fun, but it can also just be so horrible. Like, and like I've done shoots where nothing's zipped up and I'm just like,
look,
it's dumb. Awful. It's yes. Funny, isn't it? Like I battle all the time with like, I could hemorrhage loads of weight and this might be easier, but also like it's been important to me at this stage in my life to like, I don't know, it's hard enough work doing all the rest of it. Like, yes. And I think it's important to show body types like mine without it being like, without it being a thing, really.
Yes.
Like,
so when you were a teenager, did you just go down Topshop and pick
not up? Not even, well, yeah. Topshop used to be very relaxing to me. Yes. That big one. Yeah. I can't say it's on podcast, but I'd always need a shit in Topshop.
This was your go for a shit of choice was in Topshop. Yeah. Which one?
The one
in Oxford Street.
Every time I would go in, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm going to shit myself. And I was like, just clothes relax me. Shopping for clothes.
So it's like a whole new...
I'd be like, it happens every time. Still now, if I go in like a nice big H&M or like if I'm clothes shopping in person, it's touching.
Do you know something? Of all the confessional things that I had in mind for us to talk about, that was probably never going to be on my list. But like, is it difficult when you get there and there's no bathroom?
Yes, and that Topshop bathroom was awful. But the amount of like stressful queuing I've done in that Topshop, and I never thought about it, and it would happen so often. And this clever girl I know, I was once talking about it, and she was like, oh, I get that in Waterstones. So she couldn't go into Waterstones without feeling so relaxed, and she shit herself in a Waterstones.
Oh my God. This is a thing.
Mm. Yeah, I've been shitting myself in Topshops for many years now. And now it's quite sad. It's gone, so...
To be quite honest, now I'm worried about what happens because that one is gone in Oxford Street. Yeah. Do you think it's because you blocked the toilets?
Yeah. Like on the CCTV, it was like, oh, that blonde bitch is back. Can't
she get is. Somewhere? For the love of God. Get the plunger.
Philip Green. Oh, don't know. I do love fashion.
Yeah.
But then I also... You know, the more famous or whatever you get and the more high-end it all gets, the more mean it all feels. Yeah. I can't stand that. We have reached out to so-and-so, but they've said no. And I'm like, all right, fine. Like, I can't start going down that road.
What, for borrowing items?
Yeah, like high fashion stuff. And I'm like, yeah. I guess, you know, I'm a 12 to 14 and that's big, you know, as far as they're concerned. And then I'm like, I haven't worked this hard for this long on my brain to indulge in that as a thing.
So you left school and then did you work when you left school?
Yeah, so I took a year out to train for drama school because I didn't get in any. And I did have an offer a uni place because I did like dead well in my A-levels, but I didn't care about that. I was just like, I just went to tread the boards.
Yes.
I didn't train for drama school and never auditioned again because that year I started a band whilst I was a phlebotomist and I also was a teaching assistant for a year.
Okay, phlebotomist, blood.
Yes, so I babysat for some doctors who were in the Amdram scene with me. Yeah. And when I left school, I needed a job and they were like, oh, we need a phlebotomist. So like very quickly at 19 years old, I was confident enough to go and do that, I suppose.
Taking blood?
Yeah, I was taking blood out of people in a GP surgery. I loved it. Real beginning, middle and end to that job, you know.
Do you still get a biscuit?
No, I wasn't. There was no biscuits involved. I know. I used to get very excited if someone fainted, though, because you had to, like, kick a bit of the chair and it would make the chair go, you know, to get your feet above your head.
Yeah.
Because I'm a dramatic bitch. I'll be like... I really loved them bits. And I was like, thought of myself as a nurse, you know. I was like, I'm very professional.
Around this time, you started the band Slow Club with Charles Watson. So was music something you had thought of as a potential career before this point?
It's a good question. I, at the same time as being obsessed with musicals and stuff, I was obsessed with bands and I was playing the drums and very, very much like define myself by music. You know what I mean? Like a proper right arsehole probably, but really like you've not heard of British Sea Power. But then going home and listening to Destiny's Child, by the way, like I was all like most of it was fake. But yeah, I was like there was, it was, I don't think I'd thought of it as a career, but when we started the band, we'd had one band before that and we played some gigs and I suppose, yeah, I thought maybe I could do that thing where you're a band that gets signed. We're in a post-Arctic Monkeys Sheffield at this point and it's like anything was possible. Like you could be a global superstar and be from Sheffield. And so I think that definitely made me, pricked my ears up and made me think I could do it.
But you're on the road all the time. Yeah, you must have been
horrible. Yeah. But at the time, I thought it was really cool.
Like van life or van?
Well,
van.
Paul Charles's Peugeot 206 was getting us around for a long time. My first boyfriend was ferrying us about. My dad once took us up to Edinburgh. I was like, so embarrassing. Like, I remember we had a manager and he was like, I've got you a tour of the Barflies. And that's when I was like, okay, I'm not going to uni. Like, that felt like, I remember celebrating getting that. And now I'm like, oh God. At the time it was big and felt really big and I felt really cool. And it did feel
But it was
legit.
Cool.
It was, but
you
now...
Because this is it, you look embarrassed. But honestly, at that point, that is really cool.
Yeah.
Especially then, you're right.
That Sheffield indie sleaze era.
Everything was possible and to be touring. And it must have been massively exciting. It's not good for your health, though.
No, no.
What were you eating?
Oh, God. I mean, yeah, that becomes a nightmare. Yeah. Because the guys can kind of eat... Well, this is a generalised statement, but... All the men I was in bands with, like, they just, like, eat what they want and it didn't really matter, whereas I'm very conscious of things like that. And the hot meals are, you know, an obsession. You just go meal to meal because you don't know when it's coming from or how bad the environment's going to be. For me, it was like, if we had time to stop and have a sit-down Asda cafe, oh, that was luxury. The lasagna's there with a spiky salad. You know, that salad that's, like, fucking horrible and hurts you.
Hang on.
And then douse it in
salad
cream.
That hurts you.
Yeah. I love
spiky
it.
Salad. Yeah. What do you mean?
You know, like those leaves that are like...
Yeah, the leaves that are, they're like, oh, it's four leaves. It's glamorous, but one of them's a bit
one
like
a thistle.
Thistle.
Yeah. That's a full fucking metal.
You're like, oh, this is really doing me good.
Yeah. Oh. I will eat a whole trough of lasagna, but because of that spiky salad, that's fine.
Yeah. That salad is covered in salad cream. I'm going to read some of your lyrics to you from your song, The 345. Do you feel trepidation when someone's going to read lyrics like, to you? What the hell?
Like, am I either going to love it or feel really uncomfortable?
Yeah, I know. Because I'm saying that because whenever anyone says, and I'm going to read a quote to you that you said, Grace, I'm like, shit. Right, okay. I'm going to read some of your lyrics to you. My stomach and my heart never align. I wish they'd communicate. And every single morning, look in the mirror and think, ugh, you again. Oh man, I feel that.
I can't believe that made the cut, by the way. There's a couple of lyrics on Prioritized Pleasure. I was like, I can't get away with that. And then lo and behold, they're there. I think it's a very funny lyric, but it's also very real.
I think the line, ugh, you again, I get that.
Yeah, I can't believe it's still me here. And sometimes I looked in the mirror yesterday and I'm like, I'm sick of seeing her.
Anyway, you don't shy away from talking about the pressure to look a certain way. And you've talked about succumbing to that pressure yourself. What was happening at that time when you started to really not like the way that you look? And
I know most women have had it who date men, that sort of, he was a bully, he was corrosive, stealth, emotionally abusive, or, you know, you're being crazy, gaslighty.
Yeah.
You know, but I had no education about it. I didn't know. And then as soon as it, like now, I go, God, it's a, you know, it's like a genre of person. And why don't you get taught about it in school? Like now, you know, even if when I date people, they're even slightly, like anything is a tiny bit towards that. I'm like, no, I know what that means and I'm out. Like,
I don't need a red flag. Yeah. I don't even need a red flag.
No, yeah.
You see the flicker, yeah, with a thread of a flag. See, off you go.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. And like, yeah. And I'm proud of the sort of skills I've got in that department now. But God, I learned the hard way, you know. Anyway, there was this just environment of like, if I was skinnier and hotter, he'd stay, right? And the girl he like cheated on me with and left me for, it was like, you know, women that are teeny weeny, and that's like absolutely fine, but like something I've never been. Even when I was a kid, I was big boned, big Becky. Like, it's like the antithesis of me is what he glorified. And so my brain just went, okay, nil by mouth, let's go. And like, that might change things. And it weirdly, annoyingly, was exhilarating. That's why, you know, at first, and the way people respond, the way people think, it felt like suddenly I was a
real
swan
person,
you know, or whatever. Yeah. It's really, I've had to unlearn it loads, because now if a friend has lost weight, I'm like, don't fucking mention it. You never know why, or I don't know. It's complicated. I'm a ball, like, still, because some days I am like, oh, I need to sort this out. And then I'm like, sort what out? And it's, you know, it's constant. But my therapist recently was like, I've never really spoken about food with her. And she was just a bit like, you have to have it every day. So like, you never get a day off from that thinking about it. And that's why it's, so I don't know. I feel good when I'm healthy and exercising and nourishing my body. But also I just love indulging. And I don't see the point of being alive without it. So I'm a bit like, if that means I'm going to be like a bit heavier than what a quote unquote pop star is, I'm going to take that hit.
So as a band, you and Charles Watson, you went your separate ways in 2017. You rebranded as Self Esteem. Shortly after that, you released your first album, Compliments Please. I love that title. It's very you. Now I've met you. Oh my God. That is you.
Again, that was another one. I was like, I can't call it that. And then, oh, I don't know, too late. I have. Lol.
So Compliments Please, this is a really raw, direct piece of work. I mean, how does that feel?
I get asked, it's like, is it cathartic? And I'm like, yeah, it doesn't necessarily feel like it in the moment. And I've been trying to figure this out myself.
Yeah,
I think in my life, I'm a Libra who is, you know, we didn't talk about feelings much, and the MO of my existence on earth has been, don't be any trouble. So that's results in my personal life is like, I very rarely say what I fucking mean ever, and I'm always shape-shifting or trying to be what you might want me to be. And songs are the one place for a long time where I just said what I meant, and they were under the cover of, this might not be about you, or this is maybe fictional, or I'm repurposing this, you know. And I'm seeing that now, like, I'm like getting high, a big fucking high off saying what I mean.
Yes,
that's my best drug. And
yes,
that's what songs do. I think it's something like that. Catharsis, I guess, what's the definition? Like, you feel better after it? No. But I feel excited by being true, because I'm not. As a woman, I've been very like, whatever you need me to be, I'll be it. And like, I can sort of convince myself for a bit, but it always wills out. Whereas in songwriting, it's always been this safe place, because I've got this idea for like a hat that just says, I'll pay you not to be mad with me. Like, that's how I've lived my life. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll literally pay you to make sure you're not mad with me. And when you live life like that, so, and you could, but I can be as pissed off as I want in a song, or as real or true or sad or pathetic or dramatic or too much. It all works well to music, and if it rhymes, so.
I'll pay you not to be mad with me.
I will.
I love that. Your track, I Do This All The Time, but it went nuts in 2021, didn't
I've not
it?
Had a day off since, I'm dying.
Help me.
Honest, I'd rather be in an indie band with no one. I'd rather be playing flowery dress with a guitar, desperate for an opportunity, because that, at least I got some sleep. I take that back, I don't mean
that. That answer was just incredible. It was like, nipped in halfway through, went, please help me. I wish I could have ruined it.
Oh. No, I know. It's been amazing, though.
So you've got fans and celebrities suddenly telling you that these lyrics, they make them feel things. They make them feel seen. I'm going to read some lyrics. Brace yourself.
Do you want to scat them, please?
This is basically an audition. Just in case you're feeling sick one night. I just come on, smoking a ciggy. Wasn't what you were expecting.
Tonight, self-esteem on the paper. Perfect, let's do it. Let's pitch it.
I can't. Right. Don't be intimidated by all the babies they have. Don't be embarrassed that all you've had is fun. Prioritize pleasure. Don't send those long paragraph texts. Stop it. Don't. Getting married isn't the biggest day of your life. All the days that you get to have a big, oh my God. Do you know? Yeah, that gets me. Oh. Honestly, I could cry when I read that. Honestly, it does. It gets me. Oh, those.
I don't.
Oh. I'm just one of those people that never cries ever. Oh, but for some reason, that really got me. Do you know, that's just, don't be intimidated by all the babies they have.
Yeah. Because it's not fair, is it?
No.
Long.
And all of it, though. Don't send those bloody long paragraph texts. What's the bloody point? Do you know what I mean?
That's
two lines.
Life, but yeah.
I just think it's funny that...
Do you know what? You're fine. More.
Oh. Right. Okay. There was a darling. Question here. So you've got this amazing.
Oh, right. My heart's going.
Oh, God. Okay. So you have got this amazing and intense fan base. How would you describe a classic self-esteem fan?
Oh, man. Esteemer.
Has it got names?
I'm trying to cultivate steamers as a thing. You know what? It's so different every time. There's a classic, you know, women in their 30s who haven't got married and had kids are like, thank you. Yes. And I'm like, no, thank you for also. Because this plagues my life. Still does. My wiring is like,
yeah.
That's the what? The final furlong. And if you don't get it, then you've failed.
Yeah.
Still feels like that. And I hate that.
Yeah.
And there's lots of gay men, which is obviously heaven. And then there's like middle-aged men looking really guilty, but buying loads. So I'm fine with them.
Just shiftily standing there.
That's the best one. The DMs I get from lads being like, it's made me think differently about what it is to be a woman. And I'm like, oh, that is where it starts a bit. Like if I date men and I explain to them what it's like, just be, scary it is, or how much of your brain is daily taken up by should I be this, I should be this, I should be this, if I was this I'd be happy and all that. Like, some lads don't think like that, straight lads don't think like that, and they're like, oh my God, you know, like, yes. I don't know, I guess I just communicated that not with an agenda. All of this record was because I was fed up and like, it didn't work. I went solo and it didn't work, you know, essentially. I was like, well, it didn't matter then, let's just do this. And now it's obviously, the second you stop trying.
Exactly. Are you telling you're touring right now?
I just did a tour. My summer is festival after festival. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every weekend, pretty much. And it goes from like Dad's Barbecue to Latitude to Burlesque Fest to... Because I'll say yes to anything because I've never made money in my life. So I'm like, how much? Yes.
Oh, God, yes.
There's no filter with me. Yeah. You can see me up and down anywhere if they're paying me. If you see me at something a bit shit, just know they're paying me loads of money.
Babe, I hear you. I think if you do come from somewhere like Rotherham or somewhere like Carlisle, you can't believe that chunk of money exists for someone like us.
Yeah.
You know? You've heard it's available, but when someone wants to give you it, it's... Yeah.
But it's hard when they're trying to like cultivate a career for you.
Yeah.
There's classism in music massively, and a lot of people that are big are rich anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's hard to talk about, but like...
Yeah, definitely.
I'm understanding it more and more. Now I'm like slightly in demand or whatever, but people can't believe I'm saying yes to things I'm saying yes to. I'm like, well, me trying to have a vibe or to an outsider thinking, oh, she's doing well because all this is happening. I'm like, I'm not bothered about that. I'm bothered about cash in the bank at the moment and, you know, being able to do it for longer. Never more real than when I see that.
Your outfits when you're going to go on stage, like, they're always so incredible. And so, like, sometimes I'm awful about showing my body, you know, and like, you're really brave and just very, like, I'm here. When you're standing at the side of the stage to go on somewhere, is there ever a moment where you're just like, fucking hell, I can't do this.
Yeah, or happens a lot. The blood just drains out my body and I'm like, no, I can't do it. I can't.
Yes.
What the fuck am I doing? No, you're too this, you're too that. Your body can't do this. But then I really just like drilling into my like, it's a radical act then to stand there in my leotard with thighs like mine, right?
It's a radical act to not give a fuck.
Yeah, and even though I don't personally feel like it, I'd rather be under a bag sometimes. See why, you know, Sia puts that bag on her head and I'm like, I get you, I see you, love. But it feels, that's when like the artist in me takes over, I suppose. And I'm like, no, like it's important and radical and vital that I don't get overwhelmed by age old bullshit that's, you know, the patriarchy's putting into us anyway. The idea that like your body is not a beach body or whatever, you know, that sort of thing, like, yes, it is because it's on the beach. Like, same with this. It's like, if I want to dress like that, and I do, sometimes I think you can't, and that's when I know I should.
Yeah. You're on the road now with all women a lot of the time.
We've got one man. Yeah, we'll one man in. Token man, token man. I always thought that would be a cool thing because for so long that I was in a band, all boy men and me, the girl, and having the girl was the like cool thing. It still happens now. I see big artists have session musicians. They make sure there's one girl doing a tambourine or one tom drum. So it started out as a joke that I would have one man and now it's stuck because he's great. We love him. And sometimes we are like, Mike, can you lift this? And we're like, oh, fuck. I'll gender roll if I need to, if it's like a bin that needs taken out.
Yeah. Have you got a favourite fast food on tour?
Oh, McDonald's.
What do you order?
I get a nugget meal with a cheeseburger. Yeah. McDonald's in service stations. You know, there's touchscreen. Which they found out has particles of poo on every single one.
Yeah. But you didn't do all that, did you?
No. I don't get relaxed there. But we love
that relaxed. No.
But you can add extra gherkins, extra sauce, extra cheese on the pooey touchscreen.
Okay.
So I do that. Once we were possessed, we get possessed by the idea of it. And then there's this, we're driving somewhere and we went to one McDonald's. I think it was Scotland. And it just closed. And he was like, oh, the one down whatever road is opened. We were like, this poor guy's paid to drive us. And we were like, no, we must drive. And we detour, went to the next one. You could only get a McDonald's by ordering through the app. So it was like seven grown adults in a car park, having done a gig. All of us trying to download the app quick. My bassist guitar keys player, Galps, she's an Aries and she's like top of the class. Itis, and she's a lesbian, so she's just like so horrifically capable and it's so adaptable for any situation. She was like, dunk! Like it was like her life depended on it. We got the app, we ordered, it was this huge McDonald's order, it was delightful. So I love to commit to the bit, right? That's my dream. Like, and everybody in my band has that mentality, and it makes for a really funny tour.
Self-esteem. Thank you for being with me.
I could stay here all day. Oh,
no. Don't go home.
No. Can I live here?
Yeah. Okay, fine. Should we make some more sandwiches?
Like, yeah. Cancelled. I'm staying.
Oh, thank you.
This episode of Comfort Eating was produced by Emma Roberts. The series producer is Leia Green, and the executive producer is Kathy Drysdale. Music and sound design is by Axel Cacoutier, and this episode was mixed by Solomon King. If you like Comfort Eating, please leave us a review. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. And use the hashtag ComfortEatingPod to get in touch about the podcast or share your own comfort foods.
This is The Guardian.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.